I'm speaking with Khaled Moammar. Khaled is the national president of the Canadian Arab Federation. He has also been active in speaking out about the case of Omar Khadr. Khaled, welcome to No One Is Legal Radio.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad to be with on this radio program.
Khaled, when we analyze and look at the case of Omar Khadr, it's quite striking because he has support from wide sectors of the civil liberties community, from the Arab community, and from the general public. Most recently, for example, La Presse reported that even the Governor General, Michael Jean, made an intervention with Stephen Harper to ask that Omar Khadr, a Canadian citizen at Guantanamo Bay, be repatriated. The lieutenant commander who is representing him, who is an officer in the American military, has said that the only way for justice to be rendered here is for Omar Khadr to be returned to Canada and for the Canadian government to intervene. You have Romeo Dallaire, a former general in the Canadian Armed Forces. Many politicians, many figures from civil society are demanding that this young man, who was arrested when he was a 15-year-old boy, be returned to Canada. So I'm wondering, how do you explain the continued resistance by the Canadian government to bringing Omar Khadr back home to Canada?
Well, this is really shameful, you know. We have a government that's doing nothing to repatriate this Canadian citizen who was 15 years old when he was arrested by the Americans. And while every other detainee from every other Western country has already been repatriated, Canada refuses to do anything for a Canadian citizen. This is a government that does not really protect Canadian citizens when they are outside the country, and they seem to be taking and following cues from the United States administration and security agencies. They will not do anything which will irritate or antagonize the Bush administration. They are very subservient in that manner. They really don't care about Canadian sovereignty or Canadian citizens. And we should all make sure that this government does not stay in power after the coming federal elections.
But Khaled, to be a little bit critical, Omar Khadr has been in custody in U.S. hands since 2002. That's many years before the Stephen Harper government came into power. So what you have is both liberal and conservative governments not doing what needs to be done to bring him home. And so I'm wondering, what's the deeper underlying reason here? I think everybody knows that Stephen Harper plays George Bush's tune, but bureaucrats, people at high levels of the Canadian bureaucracy and government have refused to do anything since 2002. We're speaking about 6 years. So I'm wondering, beyond the fact that this government is a government that that won't go against the wishes of the George Bush government, what is the deeper underlying reason why this young man can't be brought home?
Well, you know, first what we have to understand is the following. When he was detained at that time, there was this hysteria about fighting what Bush likes to call the war against terrorism, which in reality is a war of terrorism by the United States. At that time, the Canadian government had refused to participate in the invasion of Iraq due to public pressure, and they wanted to placate the Americans by doing nothing when Omar Khadr was detained. But since then, you know, the information that has come through from legal experts, from the military lawyer that's in the States, from the videos which showed how CSIS was complicit and the government was complicit in the torture of Omar Khadr, and in providing information to the U.S. Interrogators. Since then, the Liberal Party, the NDP, have and the Bloc Québécois have all called for the repatriation of Omar Khadr, because it is now evident that he will not receive a fair trial. I heard his Canadian lawyer, Dennis Edney, and he said the process is not a fair process. It does not, there is no due process in this the military courts, and it's clear now that that there is no concrete proof that he was involved in any military action when he was arrested, and the fact that any evidence which was taken out from him was done through torture. And so everybody is saying now, you know, he should be released except this government. And like, you know, the times have changed also. Bush is now, the Bush administration is now going out. It has been discredited in Iraq and Afghanistan. The economy of the United States is going down, and yet we have this government sticking to its guns, supporting the Bush administration, and refusing to safeguard a Canadian citizen and bring him home.
Khaled, it's clear that the current conservative government has failed Omar Khadr. It's clear that the previous Liberal government failed Omar Khadr. But again, I want to play what we call in French, avocat du diable, devil's advocate. Is it fair to say that so-called civil society has also failed Omar Khadr? It strikes me that until the video of his interrogation was released several months ago, that the outrage and the public campaigning that is needed to bring awareness to this case reached a level that it should have been many, many years before. So I'm wondering if we could, and I include myself in this as well, if we can turn a more critical eye towards so-called civil society, towards so-called campaigners. Is it fair to say that we've also failed in our own campaigning in standing up for basic rights that are at play here when it comes to the detention in Guantanamo Bay of Omar Khadr?
Well, what we have to take into consideration the fact is that since the implementation of the Anti-Terrorism Act in 2001, which was done hastily without proper consultation, there has been an acceptance by the public generally, and which gave, you know, a free hand to the security agencies and the government, that Muslims and Arabs are outside of the law, and that their human rights and civil rights should not be protected. Omar Khadr is a Muslim and an Arab child, even though he's a Canadian citizen. The public generally and the media was also responsible for this image, and which stereotyped and maligned Arabs and Muslims, was willing to accept, you know, the violation of the Canadian Charter of Human Rights with regards to Arabs and Muslims. They were outside this segment of the Canadian society, became outside of the law. They were cast out of the legal procedures and of politics, you know. So even the Muslim and Arab community was so intimidated to the extent that they would not speak out and ask for justice and due process for this Canadian citizen. So you know, this whole atmosphere that was created after 2001, the racial profiling, the Islamophobia, which is acceptable by the media, by politicians, all of that prevented really a public outcry. And unfortunately, until now, the latest poll was, you know, which came out, showed that still 40% of Canadians view Muslims, you know, with hostility, and which means that they are probably still willing to have Muslim Canadians denied the protection of our legal system, you know.
Khaled, clearly in the post-2001 environment, but even before, but very clearly after the post-2001 environment, Arabs, Muslims, South Asians have been targeted for racial profiling. We have cases of rendition, cases of unjust detention, racial stereotyping, racism, Islamophobia. But again, to be somewhat critical, there are certainly those people who are suffering from these policies, the victims of security certificates, Omar Khadr, the Yakabuchi 3, Maher Arar, and certainly the cases that we haven't heard about, but the chill in the broader community. But would you say that perhaps we've let ourselves be neutralized by this fear? We've let ourselves play into this fear and not take a stand until now, which seems to be a bit late. We still need to fight because Omar Khadr is in detention. But for many who have our citizenship, who live here, who can speak out, in many ways we were silenced and neutralized by this post 9/11 environment. I'm not saying it was easy to fight back, but in many ways a lot of voices stayed silent.
Well, yeah, that is the reality. We know it. We know it from the Arab community, and I've been talking to the family of Omar Khadr, and I know that they were in a sense ostracized by the Muslim community, you know, for a long time, because people were afraid that by associating or showing sympathy with them, that they would be targeted by CSIS and the security agencies. And this is going on even now, you know, like Somalis, members of the Somali community who come back from a pilgrimage in Mecca are targeted. Youth from the Somali community that attend the mosque regularly are targeted because our security agencies are so ignorant, and they believe that any religious Muslim is really a potential terrorist. And this is why also the government was able to pass, you know, stricter immigration and refugee laws, which give powers, arbitrary powers, to the Minister of Citizenship and Immigration to decide who comes to Canada. And this is targeting mainly people from Asia, Latin America, and Africa. Specifically, you know, those who are Muslim, but really, it's targeting all racialized communities. The minister now we're going back to the old immigration laws, which prevented Chinese and from coming to Canada in big numbers. I know of an instance where people who are applying now who meet the criteria for immigration are told that they have to wait till 2015. So basically, they're telling them, withdraw your application. There is an attack, a persistent and coordinated attack by the government against racialized communities. It started with Muslims and Arabs, but it's really a racism at its worst, targeting racialized communities. That's why we have an increase in the poverty levels of racialized communities. They're not being given good job opportunities. They are, even though people who are more educated than the average Canadian born are now are getting less pay, and they're not finding jobs. And this is a serious issue. You know, we are going through a stage here where there's a need for coordinated solidarity between all racialized communities, and with the support of civil and human rights organizations in Canada, to stop this slide down into racism and discrimination in all facets of Canadian life, in the courts, by the police, by CSIS, by employers, by everything.
Khaled, you mentioned earlier that it's now emerging as snippets of evidence, as we get snippets of evidence, that it's clear that perhaps Omar Khadr was not involved in the potential death of an American soldier. But what I want to ask is, does it even really matter? Omar Khadr was 15 years old when he was taken into U.S. custody. That is clearly within the definition of what a child soldier is. I'm wondering if the point here isn't really what he did. He could have done something that killed somebody. The fact is, can we really hold a 15-year-old boy in that context responsible? And isn't that the main issue here?
Well, first of all, as assuming he was involved in that, he did it at the age of 15. He's a child soldier. He's not a terrorist by definition. You know, you are in a military. You're fighting an enemy. You're a soldier, and you're not a terrorist. Second, you know, in Sierra Leone, where there were tens of thousands of child soldiers, actually the number is 30,000. When the civil war ended, the tribunal that was set up to look into the crimes that happened during the civil war decided not to prosecute any of the child soldiers, and on the contrary, they recommended that the government rehabilitate and integrate them back into society. This is being done in Africa, in a third world country. And yet here we have a country which claims to be democratic, has a charter of rights and freedom, refuses to do anything for this child soldier, and allows him to be tortured and detained, and with no due process. This is shameful. And really, these are instances which shows where the discrimination is happening, because if you recall, a few months ago, Brenda Martin, who's a Canadian, was jailed in Mexico, and Harper intervened personally, and they sent a private government jet to bring her into Canada. Now you have instances of Abdel Razak Abu Sufyan, who's a Sudanese Canadian, who was detained in Sudan based on false information provided by CSIS to the government of Sudan. And since his release, our government is refusing to issue him a passport and bring him back to Canada. The same thing has happened to a Somali Canadian, Bashir Maktal, who was visiting Somalia and escaped to Kenya when the Ethiopian army invaded Somalia. And he was deported by Kenya to Ethiopia, and he's now rotting in an Ethiopian jail, and the Canadian government did nothing to help this guy. This is because they are Africans, they're not a Brenda Martin. This is the same thing with Omar Khadr. He's not a Brenda Martin. And this is what we have to stand up and expose, this racism which is permeating all levels of our government.
Khaled, I'd like you to share your reactions about that video interrogation. And when you do, I want you to share those reactions, not so much as the national president of the Canadian Arab Federation, but just as an individual. How did you feel? What were the thoughts and feelings that you had as you watched this video of a teenager being interrogated by CSIS officials at the Guantanamo Bay prison in Cuba?
Well, knowing also when I watched the video that this teenager had been deprived of sleep for several days prior to that, because he was being transferred every 3 hours from one cell to another, and so he was softened up by the Americans. So, and the fact that he was happy to see Canadians for the first time, and that these Canadians abused their citizenship. Instead of trying to help him, they were goading him on, teasing him, laughing at his suffering, and minimizing his wounds. Like, this was callous. I couldn't believe that any adult would do that to a child who had been in jail by that time for 2-3 years. What kind of CSIS agents are we training? With no sensitivity, with no humanity, who are happy to see a citizen of their own country, a child suffering, and in pain and crying. You know, it's inconceivable. It's really sickening.
Khaled, I'm wondering if you could be more specific. When we talk about Omar Khadr being a victim of torture, can we be specific about what we mean by that? And to what extent is the Canadian government complicit in that torture?
Well, to deprive a person of sleep is a form of torture. This is well known, you know. And the fact that he was in solitary confinement, that's another torture. You know, when you keep a person solitary confinement for more than 90 days, it affects him psychologically, according to psychologists. It's a traumatic experience. And here we have our government sends security agents down to Guantanamo, knowing ahead of time that Omar Khadr had been deprived of sleep for many days. And they go in there and they actually mislead him, because they start by offering him, first of all, you know, hamburgers and food so that they would get close to him. And then they start teasing him and torturing him with their questions, you know, with the kind of answers that they gave him. Like, it was, and that's what made him break down and cry in the end. Because he realized that he was being tricked by these people whom he thought were coming there to help him, and our government knew that all the time, and they didn't really bring out that information until that video, and until his lawyer in Canada was able to force the government through the federal court to have him view that video, you know, like it was being kept a secret by government officials all this period, because they knew that it was a horrendous act that they were involved in, and he had to go to court, and this lawyer, Dennis Edney, is really an exemplary Canadian. He's a model for all Canadians. He's been working as a lawyer for Omar Khadr, traveling to Guantanamo Bay 5 or 6 times, and he's doing this all for free. And the reason he's doing it, he said, I wouldn't want this to happen to my child one day, and yet we have our government, you know, sending secret agents down there to torture or to participate in the torture of a Canadian citizen. So they are really complicit, and on top of that, they refuse now to do anything to bring him back to Canada. He is willing to face, you know, a fair trial in Canada, but not down there in this gulag of Guantanamo where there's no due process.
Khaled, on October 6th, the Canadian Arab Federation, along with all kinds of groups across Canada, will be engaging in a national day of action in support of Omar Khadr, demanding that he be brought back to Canada, be brought back home. I'm wondering if you could describe what this day of action is all about on October 6th.
Well, actually, what was decided is that week from October 5th to 11th, there would be activities across Canada. In some places it will be on October 6th, in other places different. But it's basically to raise this issue before the election as a major issue because many Canadians now see it as a major issue, and we are ashamed as Canadians that this travesty of justice has been going on for that long. So there will be demands for the repatriation of Omar Khadr. In Ottawa, there'll be a rally, to bring it to the capital itself. Across Canada, people will be approaching the candidates in their ridings to press this issue as an important issue, after they get elected. So, So it is time that this young boy be brought back to Canada before the military trial takes place. And it looks like now it might be in December or around that time, because he's not going to have a fair trial in the United States. And they need the U.S. administration, the current U.S. administration, is looking for a sentence, because they have spent all this money so far on Guantanamo and they haven't had anybody yet, you know, sentenced. So they need to justify all those expenses and all of those violations of human rights that took place by saying we finally got somebody. Yeah.
Khaled Mohammar, National President of the Canadian Arab Federation and a campaigner for the repatriation of Omar Khadr, thank you for speaking with us on No One Is Legal Radio.
Okay, thank you, Christophe. Have a nice day.